That was awesome, wasn't it?
How many of you guys enjoyed the worship this morning? I'm so happy to be here. I first want to just thank Pastor Blackman for putting on this revival, for the Lord putting it in his heart to have a revival. And I'm so excited to be here today. They put a lot of hard work into this and a lot of prayer. They've been praying every day. Our family's been praying every day. We've been praying at night at home, and we're excited what God can do. I just want to just say this before we even really jump into the message today, is that a man does not bring a revival. It is a sovereign move of God, where when we, God's people, pray, we humble ourselves, we seek his face, we turn, then God brings a revival. But he responds to conditions. And I'm going to be talking about that on Monday night a little bit more, on the conditions of a revival. But let me just say, I'm so thankful to be Pastor Blackman's friend. And Linda and Pastor Blackman, we've known you all for years, and you all have been faithful to the Lord. And just look around, see what God has done, and just through your faithfulness. And I'm so grateful for what the Lord has done. So good to see some familiar faces here too, as well. And I've seen some of y'all through the years and got to know some of y'all, and I'm so grateful. And I'm glad to have my family with me, my wife Wendy, and my daughter Kaylee, and Christian and Aiden. So happy to have my friend Jason, he's with me, and Dan and Monica and Abigail, and my buddy Tim's at the back. He came in. We see you, buddy. We're glad you're here. And just look at somebody beside you and smile, and just greet them if you haven't greeted somebody beside you just for a minute. And then I'm going to go into the Word of God, and I'm so excited to share this message with you. So happy to be here today. I want to share a message with you that I've entitled A Revival of Prayer. Let me just give you the next four messages in a nutshell of what I'm going to be speaking on. So this morning I'm going to speak on a revival of prayer. And then tonight I'm going to be speaking on a revival of love. And Monday, I'm going to be speaking on a revival of repentance. And then on Tuesday night, I'm going to be speaking on a revival of truth. And what is needed more than anything, I believe, is prayer, love, the Bible type of love, not a man-centered love, not love is love, not love according to your truth, but love according to the Word of God. And then I'm going to be speaking on a revival of repentance, and I truly believe that when God's people repent, then we're going to see God bless and heal his church, heal our, and forgive our sins. He's going to bring a great work of revival in the church. And then Tuesday, as I speak on truth, we're going to talk about a revival of truth, and that is a holy boldness that the church needs in this hour. We need courage in this hour. And I believe even some of the recent events that have happened in our country have opened up the door for people to be more courageous than ever before. But to speak the truth in love, the Bible says. And so I'm going to talk about that Tuesday night if the Lord allows the order to go that way, but that's what we've planned. And I want to share a message with you this morning from Isaiah chapter 66 and verse number 8. If you would turn there with me, please, and look at the scripture. I'm going to read that with you, along with you, as you turn there and find that. The Bible says in the King James Version, I'm going to read from, and at times I'm going to be sharing verses from the New King James Version, but this is from the King James because of the wording of scripture here that is used. The Bible says, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And I want to talk to you mainly today about travailing in prayer. Travailing in prayer. But before we begin, can we pray together? Can we all just pray? And could you all be praying for me too as I share this message with y'all today? Father, we thank you for your word. We're so thankful for your goodness and your mercy in our lives. Father, we can say, as we sang earlier, that your goodness and mercy are following us all the days of our life. God, you've been so good to us. You've been so good to us. You've blessed us more than we could ever deserve. And you've been merciful to us. You've withheld from us what we justly deserve. And then you've given us your grace, and you've given us more than we could ever even have deserved or even asked for. And you've blessed our lives so richly. And Father, we are indebted to you. And we thank you for your word. And God, today we come at the very commencement of this revival, and we say to you that everything that we do is vain without the power of your Holy Spirit moving upon our hearts. And we come to you, God, humbly because we know that without you we can do nothing. And we're asking for your Holy Spirit to begin to move, the one who lives inside of us, the one who dwells within the church, the one who is ever present with us, the one who you gave to reveal truth to us, to teach us all things, to guide us, to empower us to live a life of godliness. We ask that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes today, that you would open our ears today, give us ears to hear your word, and that you would open our hearts today and give us tender hearts to receive your word today as it is truth. And as we receive your word, I pray that it would transform our lives today, that we would leave this building today on fire for you, Lord God, that we would leave this building today renewed with faith to pray, daring prayers of faith for the healing of this church and the healing of this land, Lord, and that you would bring a true heaven-sent revival to your people. God, we just trust you, and we surrender and submit everything to you, and we ask that you would be glorified today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 I believe we've been seeing the beginning of a spiritual awakening in our country. How many have noticed that lately? The beginning of what I would call spiritual awakening. I wouldn't necessarily call it a revival, but it's a spiritual awakening, I believe, that is leading towards a direction of the possibility of a great revival touching our country again. Pastor Blackman and I talked about that the other day. And we're both believing that God is at work in this land right now. He's working in the church. There are people attending church that did not attend. There's people being saved that were lost. That we're seeing a stirring within the body. Truth now. There's a lack of fear of speaking the truth. And people are beginning to be bold in their faith and speak their faith with boldness. Something's happening in this country. The suppression that has happened in this country, the church is no longer worried about that, and I see a holy boldness coming to the church. So I see some great things, and truth is the center point for what I believe God is going to do to transform this country and the church within this land. But I believe that this is a precursor to a revival, but not necessarily the revival that God wants to send here. It's just the beginning. It's the stirring. It's the beginning of an awakening within our country. But I believe that the greatest way that we could ever see a revival was to have a revival of prayer within the church again. It's interesting to me. Jesus said this, my house shall be called a house of what? A house of prayer. It's interesting to me. He used those words, a house of prayer. But let's just be honest for a moment. Let's just be raw and candid for a moment this morning. The church has largely become a house of preaching and performance. In other words, it's one thing to advertise for a revival. It's one thing to advertise for a guest speaker to come or maybe a choir to have special music and all that. But if you just put up a sign and said, we're praying for a revival, I wonder how many people would really come. I love what Jim Cimbala said. He's pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Pastor Blackman, I have a mutual respect for him and his ministry there in Brooklyn, New York. This is what Jim Cimbala said. He said, you can tell how popular a church is by how many people come on Sunday morning. You can tell how popular the pastor or the evangelist is by how many come on Sunday night. We're not trying to discourage you from coming tonight. But he said this, but you can tell how popular Jesus is by who comes to the prayer meeting. I'm trying to say this, the church has been prayerless. And the reason we're powerless is because we've been prayerless. And this message today is designed not to just experience the symptoms of a revival, but to touch your heart today to awaken a spirit of prayer within the church that will lead ultimately to a revival that will touch and heal the church and heal our land. A spiritual awakening that could literally change the city that we live in or wherever you're from. A spiritual awakening that you can take home with you that will affect your family. And I'm praying for my family that God will do something mighty in our family. That we as a family will be a family of prayer. We will be a family that intercedes on the behalf of others in this nation and the church in this nation. I love the old song. It says, revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. That's not just a song. It's a prayer.
It's a prayer for a revival. And that's what we need today. We need something to stir us, to cause us not just to go to church on Sunday, but to cause the church to want to come together and pray for an awakening and a revival that will touch this nation. Somebody say amen if you want that. And the Bible says, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children in Isaiah 66:8. Look at the language of Scripture. As soon as Zion travailed. This was an instantaneous, miraculous birth that he's depicting here. She brought forth her children. This verse is describing the miraculous restoration of Israel. The word Zion here is a poetic name for Jerusalem or the people of Israel. And the imagery here is being used of a mother experiencing the labor pangs of travail in childbirth. Now, I've never had the opportunity to experience that, and I am so grateful that I have not. But I have been on the other side of that, and I've been there holding my wife as she receives an epidural, and I've seen her go through the labor pangs of delivering these three children that are sitting here on the front row, and it's not a pretty sight. I remember one time she was giving birth to Aiden, and as she's giving birth to Aiden, I was so excited. I said, this is wonderful, and she's in the middle of breathing and getting ready to deliver our son, Aiden. And I said, we ought to have 20 children. And the doctor's like, somebody get that guy out of the room. I don't know what it's like to go through the physical labor pangs of delivering a child, but wouldn't it be incredible if the church began to understand that in prayer, that there is a labor that is in prayer, and not a laborious thing that's boring without results, but it's something that brings forth something miraculous that could not happen until God's people began to pray. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about Zion travailing, and I'm relating this unto our prayer, but when we begin to pray, then God begins to move. That's when God begins to move. The word travail in a spiritual sense involves an earnestness or a fervency and an intensity in prayer. It's an expectation that you're about ready to give birth to something supernatural that God could only be the father of. I believe that many believers have lost their hope in prayer. The reason why I say that is because if we really truly believe that God moved when we prayed, then we would pray like God would move when we prayed. We would pray in faith. We would pray believing that God is going to give results that only God can give. But many believers have lost their hope. You know, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, the word deferred there means delayed. I believe that many people might be on delay, but it doesn't mean that God has denied their prayer. It means that there's a delay there, and sometimes our heart grows weary. But the Bible says to be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. In other words, you are going to reap what you sowed. And when we sow in tears, what's the Bible say? We will then reap in joy. And I really believe that there is a harvest of answered prayers that God wants to give, but I believe we've gotten to a place where we've lost our hope. And I've seen that in the church. And if it wasn't the case, then our prayer meetings would be full. And then if we said, pastors, can we come together and pray? We would have more than 4 or 5 people who would come together. We would have people coming together believing that God is going to do what only God can do. But that is not the case. That's not the story. That's not what I've seen. I've seen when you invite people to pray, that's a surety that people are not going to come for the most part. And it's largely because people have lost hope that God actually moves when we pray. And when hope is lost, we lose that sense of earnestness and intensity in prayer. What is hope? Hope is a cheerful expectation that something good is coming. Hope is a cheerful expectation that something good is going to happen when I pray. And when we pray and we pray in hope, we're believing that God is going to answer. He's going to respond. But when hope is removed from the believer, the enemy comes after their faith. You see, that's all he wants to do is sift you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to have you. And he tries to remove hope from you. And then when hope is removed, he comes after and attacks your faith. I love what the Bible says in Psalms 42:11. The psalmist said this, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God." What was he saying there? He was basically speaking to his soul, because in the mind he knew he could lose hope and he could be in a position of hopelessness. And he spoke to his own soul and he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" And then he goes on to say, "Soul, hope in God. Hope in God." Some of you have been listening to your mind. You need to speak through your mind. You need to not listen to the mind that would cause you to live in a state of hopelessness, not believing for a miracle, not believing for God to move, not believing for a revival, and you lose your passion in prayer, and you lose an intensity and fervency in prayer. That is a state of hopelessness. But God wants us to speak to our mind and say, as the psalmist said, hope in God. Some of you need to speak to your mind and say, "Mind, hope in God. I'm going to praise him. He's going to help me. He's going to deliver me." And that's how we need to end, hoping in God. That's how the psalmist got through many discouraging and trying times in his life. He never forgot his hope in God. He never forgot to hope in God. Maybe you've wanted to give up prayer. Perhaps you haven't seen the results that, like me at times in my life, that you thought you would get when you prayed. You know, the Bible says in Luke 18:11, or 18 verse 1, it says, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint," or not to give up. Let me just give you this word this morning. Every single one of us, we ought not to faint. In other words, don't give up. The Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Here's what I want to encourage you with today. If you feel like fainting, if you look at the things happening in the world, if you look at the things happening in the economy, if you look at the things happening in our nation, if you look at those things and you're in despair, you're not in hope. You cannot be in despair and be in hope. You need to remind your soul, you need to speak to your soul that God is above all these things. He's greater than all these things. And then hope in God. And then once you hope in God, you need to pray in faith, believing that God is going to give us what we're asking him for. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't faint. Don't faint in prayer. I love this illustration here of Elijah. There was a famine in the land for 3.5 years. And the prophet Elijah, he prayed for rain. Imagine a 3.5 year famine. No water. Everything's dry. Everything. Your crops are dry, ruined. Your grass isn't green. There's dust everywhere. And the prophet, he cried out to God. And the Bible tells us that Elijah got down on his knees. And his posture is that he buried his face between his legs on his knees. And he prayed to God for rain 7 times. 7 times. Now, this man is a prophet of God. But on the 7th time he prayed, there was nothing for 6 times. But on the 7th time he prayed, there was a cloud in the shape of a man's hand. And the servant said, I see a cloud, and it's in the shape of a man's hand. And Elijah knew that it was about ready to be a downpour. But Elijah didn't stop at one prayer. He didn't give up after the 2nd prayer. He didn't allow his soul to say, it's not going to happen because you've prayed 3 times now, Elijah, and it hasn't happened. He continued in prayer until the 7th prayer. When he prayed, he began to see that cloud coming towards them. And the Bible says there was an abundance of rain that came down and flooded that area where he prayed. My friend, sometimes we pray and we give up. Sometimes we pray for revival, or we think it's just going to come through an organized meeting. But it's not just going to come through an organized meeting. It's going to come when God's people pray. And I'm just going to say this to you. It's not going to come through an evangelist. It's not going to come through some man of God. It's going to come through God's people. That's you. That's me. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. When God's people pray, God will respond. When God's people pray in faith, God will respond to that prayer. Elijah never gave up. And some of us have given up on prayer. Some of us have given up. And I believe that the revival that God wants to bring is a revival of prayer. Revival will never break out unless we persevere in prayer. The Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The word fervent literally means a passionate intensity, a burning or glowing. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. I wonder if our prayers are fervent. I wonder if our prayers are passionate or if they're passive. I wonder if our prayer life is a passionate prayer life of somebody earnestly seeking God. You know, we see passionate prayer when we see Jesus in Gethsemane. And he's praying in agony. And as he's praying in agony, there were, as it were, great drops of blood coming out of his pores. He was praying with such fervency, and he was in such agony that great drop. I wonder sometimes if our prayer life even looks anything like Christ in his prayer life. I mean, could you imagine if a church said, we're not going to go through the programs until we pray? And then the church now looked like a spiritual birthing center of revival, a spiritual birthing center where they're in labor pangs and spiritual intense prayers. And then God gave results to that area and changed the city and changed the church because the people of God began to pray. Can you imagine that? I don't want to play. I don't want to go through the motions. I want to see God do what only God could do. It's not enough just to show up here and think that you plugged in because you're here in a meeting. We need God to move. And we need to be in a place where we pray and we see what only God could do. Let me give you an encouragement. We had a lady in our church when I was pastoring. You remember the building on Pleasant Street? And she was literally dying. We had gotten news she was living in Kentucky at that time. I spoke with her this morning. And she was literally dying. I mean, she couldn't eat anything for weeks. And her body, her skin was literally coming off. Her epidermis all over her body was literally just coming off of her body. And she had Steven Johnson syndrome. I don't know if you've heard of that before, but she was in a bad place, and they literally had to suspend her body in the air. They couldn't put anything on her. No clothes, nothing. The sheet was just draped above her to give her privacy. She was dying. And we got the word of what was going on. A former member of our church was now in Kentucky, had moved to Kentucky with her family. And I remember walking up on a Sunday morning to preach the word of God. And I got up to the pulpit, and I felt God say, you're not going to speak today. We're just going to turn this thing into a house of prayer. And I obeyed the Lord. And I couldn't even speak. And we began to pray. And the church began to pray. And I'm telling you, what I saw that day was a spiritual birthing center that day. I remember people around me, I'm weeping. The people that were praying were weeping. And we all just began to pray together for God to do what only God could do. She needed a miracle. We got out of that prayer meeting and we knew heaven had heard. We knew God had heard. I got a message that afternoon from her husband. He said, you're not going to believe this. I said, tell me what happened. We've been praying for your wife. He said, this is the first time in weeks, but she was able to eat. Not only was she able to eat, her body, I can't even describe to you, you can only imagine, her body was so burned, her epidermis was literally coming off her skin, all over her body. It was that bad. And she was not going to live. They were talking about literally placing her on, what was that called, Wendy? They were going to give her food through, what was it? A feeding tube. And we prayed, and that day there was a breakthrough, and she was able to eat. Right after that, she got out of the hospital. She not only got out of the hospital, but all of her skin that had literally come off her body completely healed with no visible scarring at all. She was entirely healed. Why? Because we didn't go through the ritual. We didn't go through the tradition. We literally stopped and said, this house is going to be a house of prayer. And when we prayed, God moved. You see, God sometimes wants to move, but we get in his way. We've got our thoughts, our ideas, but God wants to do what he wants to do. I wonder how many people weren't healed, how many prayers weren't answered because we kept going when God wanted us in that still place right there. There's a revival that broke out between 1949 and 1952 in the Scottish islands of Lewis and Harris. Has anybody in here ever heard of the Hebrides revivals? Would you lift your hand if you ever heard of the Hebrides revivals? Let me tell you about it. You ready for this? It's a great revival that broke out. It's going to shock you. It was known as the Hebrides revival. You can look this up online. The force behind this revival, the great force behind this revival, was not an evangelist. It was not a pastor. It was not a great mega church. In fact, the spiritual climate was dissipating at that time, and youth weren't even attending church. And this is in 1949. They were carnal. They weren't even going to church, and yet God brought a revival to this area. The force behind this great revival was two elderly women, Peggy and Christine Smith. Peggy was 84. Her sister was 82. Listen to what happened here. Peggy was completely blind, and her sister, who was 82, was crippled with severe arthritis. These two women together bombarded heaven in prayer. These two women together in the secret place, they couldn't even attend church, but they were at home, and they bombarded heaven with incessant prayers, fervent prayers, passionate prayers. Listen to this. A pastor came to them, a local minister came to them. And he asked the women one night, he knew they were godly women, more godly than he was. And he asked the women, he said, what do we need to do? They believed, in fact, one of the women had a vision from God that a great revival was going to hit the Hebrides. And she shared it with the minister. And the place was so dead, the church was so dead, they didn't even know what to do. And so the pastor came to the 84-year-old and the 82-year-old sisters and said, what do we need to do? And they looked at him and said, you need to pray. We need to pray. And so they recommended them pray twice a week through the whole night. And then Peggy and Christine Smith said, if you pray every Tuesday and every Friday, from 10 p.m. at night all the way through the night, we are going to stay up from 10 a.m. on our knees, 84 and 82, blind and severe arthritis. We will stay up on our knees from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. in the morning, and we will pray the same time you're praying for a revival. The pastor agreed. They all began to pray. Months went by. There was no change. And then one day there was a gentleman who was praying with the pastors in the church as they were praying through the night. And he looked at him and essentially he said, it feels like we're wasting our time here. And then the verse came to him from Psalms. And he said, is my heart clean? Are my hands clean, God? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. And he was struck by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gripped him. Now listen to what happened here. That night in that prayer meeting, that three of the elders there in the church literally fell out under the power of God. You say, what happened? God came down. What happened to the church? What happened to Lewis? From that night, the power of God came. The power of God struck the Isle of Lewis so powerfully that people's lives were changed. They invited a local evangelist to come, thinking that he would have something to do with the revival, which he did. But he walked into a revival, and when the evangelist came there on the boat, one of the deacons looked at him and said, sir, before you ever take your foot off that boat and step on shore here, is your heart clean with God? There was such a holy moment in Lewis that the evangelist said, I'm not sure about that, but I do fear the Lord. And he said, that's good. You can come. And he came on that land. And when he stepped out there, he saw the power of God. The evangelist went into the church from the boat. He needed food, but he hadn't eaten anything. They said, before you eat, can you just step into the church? He went into the church that night, and as he was in the church, the people in there were praying. He didn't see anything happening. And then a guy that was praying, crying out to God in the church, literally prayed. He fell on the floor, weeping before God. The evangelist walked out of the church, and hundreds of people were on their faces, weeping outside in the fields, in the streets. And people were crying out, God, have mercy on us. God, have mercy on us. And all across the Isle of Lewis, a spiritual revival broke out. Not because they organized a service to have a revival, but because two women, 82 and 84, were praying incessantly. They wouldn't give up in fervent prayer before God. And God broke out, and a great revival touched Lewis, where hundreds were swept into the kingdom. And the Isle of Lewis experienced that revival for well over 3 years, and it kept going year after year after year, even after the evangelist left there. And my question for you is that what you really want? Did you really come here for a revival? Did you come here to hear a man speak, or did you come here for God? Did we come here to see a revival that only God could bring? Because you're not going to find it in a man. You're going to find it on your knees when you're before God being raw and saying, God, is my hands clean? Is my heart pure? And we begin to weep before God, and we begin to be honest with God that I've lost the fire of prayer. I've lost passion of believing God. And God, I need you to do something in me because something's dead inside. And a revival is when something that was once living has died, and then it begins to live again. That's what a revival is. And I look around, and I see an auditorium filled up with people. But what we need more than anything is more than auditoriums and overflow services and mega churches and more than lights and fog machines is we need the power of God. We need it more than anything. We need a real relationship with God where we begin to cry out to God. This revival broke forth. And one night the youth were in a dance hall. And they're in a dance hall and suddenly 100 of them broke down in tears because no one even preached. The Spirit of God came in the dance hall, and they all fled the dance hall, every one of them, 100 of them, and they ran to the local church because they knew the local church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And when they went there, they all got saved. Many of them became ministers and servants of God. That's because of two ladies, 82 and 84. Listen, there were over 200 to 300 people that left their houses from 5 miles away, and they went to the police station. And they went there because they knew the man was an honorable man. And they were there, 200 to 300 people on their faces, crying out for their loved ones, crying out for God to save them and for mercy from God. How could that happen? Could you imagine if we walked out of this building and up and down the streets you could hear, and this is what you could hear during the Hebrides revivals, people crying in their houses, God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on my son Johnny. God, have mercy on my family. God, would you have mercy? And they began, there was such a spiritual awakening, it shook an whole island. Could you imagine if that happened today? This is a revival that can't be organized. In the church, no one even wanted to go home. I talked to my kids. We don't want long services. Long services are not the goal, but God's presence is the goal. You can meet in church for 4 hours, do the dance, and go through the motions and not even experience the presence of God. There's religious forms and traditions that we've created, but what we need more than anything is the presence and the power of God in our services again, in our churches again. And the only way I know to even have anything like this is we need to travail and weep. We need to travail and weep, and we need to cry out to God with the fervency in our prayers until the revival that we need is actually birthed. I'm reminded in Scripture of Daniel how he prayed for 21 days until breakthrough came. I'm reminded in Scripture of Hannah who travailed in prayer until she brought forth Samuel. History is filled with men and women who travailed in prayer until the blessing of God was secured. And we need to travail in prayer for a heaven-sent revival. I love what 1 Kings says in 1 Kings 17. Elijah, the prophet of God, was there in the widow's house, and he was staying in the upper room. above their house, and the widow had a son. And without going into the full story of how God used this woman to provide for his needs and how God used Elijah to touch her son, I want to just read it to you. The Bible says in verse 17 and through 24, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him." Let me just stop there for a minute. There was no breath left in him. Her son had died. Her son, who was once alive, now had no breath in his body. Listen closely. "And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O man of God? Are you coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said to her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode. And he laid him upon his own bed." Now, this is Elijah. He took her son, laid him upon his own bed. And the Bible says this in verse 20. "And he cried unto the Lord, and he said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and he cried unto the Lord. And he said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived." He revived. Now I want you to think about this just for a moment. Elijah took that body, that lifeless body, that breathless body, and he laid it on a bed. And then Elijah, the prophet of God, laid upon that child and prayed over that child's body that God would revive that child, that breath would come back into that lifeless child's body. And the first time he prayed, he didn't see any results. But Elijah prayed again, and the second time he prayed, he didn't see any results. But Elijah stayed there in that place of prayer and travailing over that child, and he cried out to God. And on the third time, the Bible says this, "And the soul of that child came into him again, and he revived." What caused that child to revive? What caused the breath of that child to come back into his body? I believe it's because Elijah cried out to God three times over that breathless boy until he revived. And this is a picture of revival if I've ever seen it before. If I've ever seen any picture in the Bible, revival, and there's many stories of revival that we could talk about, this is a picture of revival. It's when that which was alive has died and now has breath in it again, and it is living again. And the church is breathless today. And the church has lost the power of prevailing in prayer and travailing in prayer. And we are at a state where the church has, what I would say, has been dead when it comes to prayer, when it comes to seeking God. But when we pray, God begins to breathe life back into what was dead. And I've come here today with a message of hope, a message of hope that if we would travail in prayer, that if we would begin to seek God and begin to cry out to God over lifeless situations in our life, you might have come in here today with an impossibility in your life. You might have come in here today and you know that there's a great need in our nation for a spiritual revival, not just an awakening, but a spiritual revival. And you believe that God wants to pour out his spirit. And let me just say this as I close with this story. Those two women, they took Isaiah 44 verse 3, where the scripture says, "I will pour water upon him who is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground." You might say, "My life is dry." I want you to know it doesn't matter how spiritually dry your prayer life is. When you begin to call out to God, he will soften up the ground of your heart, and then he will pour water, the Spirit of God, upon him who is thirsty. What we need more than anything is a thirst for God. What we need more than anything is a spiritual hunger and a passion for God. And when we are spiritually hungry and passionate for God, then God says, "I will respond and I will pour water upon you. I will pour my spirit out upon you." And let me just say this. It doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Charismatic, Pentecostal. Forget all those man-made titles today. It's all about Jesus Christ. Forget all of those traditions for just a minute. And you can come in here today and say this. "I need the Spirit of God to be poured out upon my life." It doesn't matter what you call yourself. By the way, it doesn't matter. Some people think they got more of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit, when he comes to live in you and you become a child of God, you have all the Holy Spirit you'll ever need. He's the same Spirit that lives in the Pentecostals, in the Baptists, in the Charismatic. It doesn't matter. All those things, he's a person, and he comes to live inside of you and I. But what the Holy Spirit wants is a full surrender of you. He wants you to lay down and cry out and say, God, I've been dry. There's some dead areas in my life. I'm not praying with my family. We're not seeing revival in our home. How can you ever expect to see a revival in the church if you don't have that in your home? We need revival. And I just want to close with this. Charlie, if you can just play something very soft, just very soft. If you came here today, and I'm trusting that we came here today for a revival, and I assure you today that I need a revival, and you need a revival, and our land needs a revival, but you want to see a revival in your heart. If that's the desire of your heart, I'm going to ask you right now, just to raise your hand. You want to see a genuine heaven-sent revival. Would you raise your hand? A real heaven-sent revival. Now, I want you to look around. Just look around. It's okay. No one should be embarrassed to hold your hand up saying, I want a revival. How many of you would say, my life has been dry. My prayer life has been dry. I've lost the passion of fervency. I've not been praying and hope, believing. And today, here's what I want to say to you. You need to say to God, you need to say to your soul, speak to your soul right now, I'm going to set my hope in God. For God is going to help me. He's going to deliver me. He is going to bring a revival. And I just want to say this. It doesn't matter how your soul feels. You need to speak to your soul. Truth over feelings. We need to speak to our soul and say, I believe that I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I believe it. I believe we're going to see. Come on, how many believe that right now? I believe I'm going to see the goodness of God. I believe we're going to see a genuine heaven-sent revival. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Something very special. I'm going to ask you, if you raised your hand a moment ago saying, I want to see a revival. If you raised your hand a moment and you sincerely mean that, I'm going to ask you just to come out of your seat and come here. We're going to pray right here. We're going to put you to the test right now. We're going to put God to the test. We're not, don't even wait. Don't look around. What are we waiting for? If you want a revival, you should be hungry and coming forward. You should be moving out of your seat right now. If you truly want to see a revival, and what I'm going to ask you to do, if you can either kneel before God, those elderly ladies prayed, 82 and 84 years old, I'm going to ask you, just begin, don't even wait anymore, just begin to cry out for a revival. Right now, where you are, just begin to cry to God. Weep before God. Cry before God. Say, God, revive me. God, draw a circle around where you are right now. Draw a circle around you and your family right now and say, God, we need a revival in our lives. My heart's been complacent. My heart's been spiritually dead in ways, but I need the breath of God. I need the Holy Spirit to breathe upon me again. Would you just begin to pray right now? Some of you are already weeping before God. Just cry out to God. It's okay. He's a good God. He's a merciful God. God's not mad at you for not praying. He wants to see revival more than any of us in this room. And He wants to use you. And He wants to use us to see a great revival come to the church. And this is the very beginning of these meetings for revival. And this is, I can't think of a more important thing than if you would just begin to pray. Don't be worried about if anyone hears you. Come on, can we just begin to cry out for our nation right now for revival? I'm not talking about a revival for America. I'm talking about a revival in the church that impacts America. Come on, church. Can we begin to cry out to God right now? Come on, don't give up on prayer. When Zion travailed, then she brought forth her children. Some of you need to travail right now in prayer. We need to travail in prayer. Can we make this room, can we just make this room a birthing center right now, a spiritual birthing center right now? Can you forget every religion, every thought, every tradition, I mean, every tradition, just right now, just let's break every spiritual rule that we might have said that God didn't set. Can we just begin to pray right now? Can we pray like a birthing center, as a mother giving birth to those children? Can we begin to pray, because that's when we're going to see revival? Come on, can we weep for this nation? Can we weep for our youth? Can we weep for the church of God that's been complacent and cold and indifferent? Can we begin to weep for this nation again? Some of you might have thought God couldn't use you. Maybe you felt like you're too older and God would just use the youth. Let me remind you, Christine and Peggy Smith was 84 and 82. God wants to use you. Some of you felt like you're done and you're washed up. You're not done. This is the greatest moment of your life. This is the moment where you're part of a revival and sparking a revival. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Blackman as you continue to pray. Come on, let's have an old-fashioned prayer meeting, folks. Let's pray. Let's believe God. Let your hope rise up right now and begin to pray in faith for this revival.
To leave. Lord has used Brother Abe to speak to us this morning. We thank you for your word, Lord. Pray that you'd help us to be the prayer warriors you called all of us to be. Father, heard someone say recently and thought about this as Abe was preaching. That when man works. But when man prays, you work. Lord, your word and the sons of Korah were crying out saying, revive us again, Lord. We sing the song, but may it be the desire of our heart. Lord, send a revival. But let this revival begin in me. Revive us again, O God. Revive us again. We need your revival, Lord. We need your restoration. We need to be renewed. Lord, help us to repent of any sin that we have in our lives. Help us as the man told the evangelist before he set foot on the ground, out of the boat, is your life clean? You will honor a cleaned vessel. But the only way we come clean, Lord, is we submit ourselves and subject ourselves under the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for dying in our place to forgive us of our sin. Thank you for the message of hope we heard today. Not despair, hope. You're the God of hope. Help us not to give up in prayer. Help us to be persistent, to persevere in prayer, to hold on to you, to cling to you as we give ourselves, Father, crying out to you, not just for this nation, for our home.